Okay, so let's start talking a little bit about, something that, may not be so relevant to us here right now. I mean, maybe it's relevant to other people, but just an interesting thing to talk about and see what the halachic ramifications of it are. Now, we know that we have an obligation called bedikas chametz, to search for the chametz. And as I mentioned many times before, if you look in the Gemara, or Shulchan Aruch, you're not going to find something called cleaning before Pesach. It's all about searching for the chametz. Cleaning for Pesach came about when we started all living in larger homes, and we couldn't get everything done the night before Pesach. So there became this practice that we clean beforehand, and we basically make sure that we're removing the chametz beforehand. And then on the night before Pesach, when we do the bedik, when we do the search, we're basically inspecting to make sure that we didn't forget anything and that things are mainly in order. Now, the areas that we are going to be searching is anywhere that chametz is brought into. A room that that chametz was brought into, or there is a possibility that the chametz was brought in there, that is an area that we say we have to clean and we have to search there. Now, theoretically, if you're not going to be, if a person who's not home for Pesach, right, a person not home for Pesach, really has two choices. Number one, let me just back up for a second. We've spoken about in the past years, people are always very busy with crumbs. And we've mentioned that essentially, according to most opinions, there is no obligation to have to look for crumbs. Crumbs are things are considered not have no significance. We're not really that concerned that you're going to come eating crumbs off the floor. The only crumbs that we are really concerned about and very concerned about are any crumbs that be left on your counters. Anywhere where food would go, where food preparation takes place, where food eating takes place, in those areas we are concerned with even a crumb because the rule is on Pesach we're not allowed to eat even a crumb. Even if a crumb gets mixed into our food, and typically if something non-kosher, a crumb of something non-kosher got mixed into 60 times more, we become nullified. On chametz, that doesn't happen. On Pesach, I'm sorry, when it comes to chametz and Pesach, on Pesach, that doesn't happen. So although, the commentaries say, the Rishonim say, the Jewish people are holy and they won't even leave a morsel, they won't even have a morsel of, or a tiny bit of chametz in their domain. Essentially, that is a stringency. It's a stringency that for how, as far as if it can be practiced under circumstances that don't cause too much stress and too much effort, too much makes people very, very tired by the time they come to the Seder, they're exhausted. Clearly there is this custom that, and the truth is that when we're dealing with crumbs, you can deal with crumbs very easily. You sweep the floor and you vacuum, your crumbs are pretty much gone. The things that people do or still have done to really, really get into everything, which is again part of that practice understanding of the Jewish people being holy and making sure not to leave even a tiny bit of chametz. Again, that's a stringency. It's a stringency that is considered a holy stringency, but again, it has to be used common sense when to use it. And the main issue really is when you're going to be around chametz and where you're eating or where you're preparing food, that's where the problem of even little crumbs of chametz are an issue. Now, if you're not going to be home, if you're not going to be home for Pesach, you're not going to be eat or you're not going to be so you're not going to be home. You're not going to be really around any chametz at your home. Theoretically, you could do a very quick cleaning. You could do the mitzvah of getting ready for Pesach by just doing a good cleaning. Almost like a Shabbos cleaning, and without having to get into anything very complicated, you could do that and then do a bedikah before you leave. Again, if you leave your home before the night of bedikas chametz, so then you do your bedikah the last night that you're home. And when you do that, when you're not doing it on the night of the 14th, you don't make a bracha. But again, if you're leaving your home, you've cleaned for Pesach, you're leaving your home. And you're going to do a bedikah, you check the last night that you're there. Now, at the same time, many people in the kind of situation we're not going to be home, they have that choice of doing a quick but thorough cleaning, but they're not going to be home. They have another choice, and that is they can basically what we call sell your house. Now, sell your house doesn't mean you're going to sell your house. sell your house means that anytime we sell chametz to a non-Jew, what's happening is we're selling our chametz in the area where the chametz is. Because it's not enough just to sell the chametz and say it's not my chametz anymore. If it's not your chametz anymore, but it's sitting on your, but it's sitting right in front of you, it's in your domain, we're concerned that you may come to eat it. So therefore, not only do we sell the chametz, but the area where the chametz is sitting, we rent that out to the non-Jew. So your cabinets that are holding your chametz things, the chametz belongs to the non-Jew, and the cabinets are rented to the non-Jew. So now basically it's not only not ours, it's not considered in our domain anymore. So that's what's happening. So for people who aren't going to be home, right, and therefore they're not going to be, they can go ahead and really sell all the chametz that may be in their house. Wherever their chametz is going to be, which is all over the house or possibly all over the house, that area is going to be, that's going to be sold to the guy. And theoretically, you know, by doing that, you're not going to have to go ahead and do, you're not going to do anything. You're not going to have to clean, you're not going to have to search. The same way when we sell the chametz in our cabinets, we don't search those cabinets. If we're going ahead and selling our entire, if we're not checking, and therefore we're selling everywhere where chametz may be, it's the same idea like the cabinets. You wouldn't have an obligation to have to search for chametz there. So really, when a person goes away, and many people do this, they don't go through the whole cleaning process. They could, and they could still, you know, get the mitzvah of bir chametz, of removing chametz. But if they choose not to, then they can just go ahead and sell wherever the chametz may, they sell the chametz in the area of wherever it may be, and they wouldn't have to do a bedikah. Okay, sounds good, right? Nonetheless, even a person who is going away, according to many opinions, has to still perform the mitzvah of searching for chametz. It's not, searching for chametz is not only, you know, if my home has chametz, it has chametz. Now again, if you have a home that's always chametz free, there is no obligation for bedikah. But if your home has had chametz in it, right? It's your home, you've lived in this home and it had chametz in it. Even if you're not going to be near that chametz, there is still a mitzvah to go ahead and search for chametz. There's still a mitzvah to go ahead and do it. To do a search. Now, to fulfill that, you wouldn't have to go ahead and search your whole home. What you would do is you can choose a room and choose a room that's not too difficult to clean, a room where chametz goes into or could go into, and therefore you got to search it. Take that room, clean it, do a quick cleaning, and do a search there, and you've done your mitzvah. So even a person who is not going to be home for Pesach and maybe choosing to basically, as we say, sell the whole house, nonetheless, there is a mitzvah that they, according to many opinions, they have a mitzvah obligation to do a search. And to fulfill that, it's enough to go ahead and choose a room that needs to be cleaned, that needs to be searched, and to clean it and do a bedik on it. And for that, you've covered all your bases. So that's just one thing that's one thing I wanted to mention, you know, for people who are going to be away. If people who are going to be away, they should take one room. Doesn't have to be a difficult room. Again, we're not talking about a room like your attic where perhaps you can assume the chametz doesn't even go there. Talk about a room where there's a possibility that chametz goes there. And you know, take your living room, right? Give it a vacuum, you know, and you're done. And then you go ahead and take a candle the night before you leave or whenever night you're there. The night before you leave, and you go ahead and you search, and you've done the mitzvah. So that's one thing that's important for people who are not going to be home to know. Another important thing for them to know is that wherever they're going to be, on Erev Pesach, there's going to be bir chametz, it's going to be burning chametz. That's what we do Erev Pesach. Well, you might say, look, you know, I took care of all my chametz at home. I have no chametz with me. I don't have to burn my chametz. The halacha is that you have a mitzvah, you have an obligation to burn chametz that day. It's not only if you have chametz you should burn, there's a mitzvah to be burning chametz that day. Sounds interesting, but that's what it is. There's a mitzvah to be burning chametz that day. So get yourself a kazayas of chametz so that you can burn it on Erev Pesach. Even if you're not going to be home and you've taken care of all your chametz at home, nonetheless, you should go ahead, go out there, have somebody gift it to you, whatever it may be. Get hold of a kazayas of chametz that it's yours, and throw it into the fire and do the mitzvah of burning the chametz on Erev Pesach. Okay. Now, another interesting thing to know is this would be relevant to people who perhaps, again, aren't going to be home, but they're staying by someone. Now, what I mean by that is the following. If you rent a space from someone, you know, you're renting a house for Pesach. Renting a house for Pesach. Well, if you rented that house before Pesach began, the obligation to search that house for chametz is yours. It's not the previous owner's. If you take rent, if you take ownership, basically, which renting would be considered that also, if you take a level of ownership on that area before Pesach comes, for the night of Bedikas Chametz comes, which is the when the obligation of searching for chametz takes place, if you rent that area, it's now your area. The obligation is upon you. If you don't rent the area, really the obligation is upon the owner. They have an obligation to go ahead and search for chametz there before they leave. It's their obligation. If they're just going in, if it's their area, and they're just letting you stay there, the obligation to search for chametz is really their obligation. And if they didn't, you cannot say, well, he was supposed to and he didn't, not my problem. It's your problem. You are not allowed to be in an area that needed to be searched for chametz and it wasn't. Even if it's not your chametz and it's not your area, you're not allowed to be around chametz in a regular basis. So for instance, imagine a situation like this. And it's possible to have this, you know. There is a room in your house and you there was chametz in there and you sold the chametz, you rented out the room. Or let's say you did it to your whole house. And you ask the non-Jew permission, I know that this house is rented from you, can I stay there on Pesach? And he says, sure, go ahead. You still have a big problem. There's all that chametz around you. It's not your chametz. It's not even your home right now. But you have all that chametz around you. And our sages were concerned, chametz is something we eat all year round. And if chametz is going to be around you and you're there on a regular basis, we're afraid you're going to eat it. Now, we also, as I mentioned to you before, there is halacha that even when we sell our chametz and we rent the room, it's made clear to the guy that if we need to go in and get something, we can do so. So if, let's say, you know, you there is a room with chametz and you sold that room to the guy, right? And we, you know, wherever we leave the chametz to go in and sell, you know, we make sure that there's something dividing, separating. We put up a sign making sure that it doesn't go in. You have to make a simon. You got to make a sign not to go in. Okay. But if I got to go in to get something, I realize I have to go in and get something. Or let's say you went in and you rented and, you know, you sold the whole house, as we say. You got rid of you sold the chametz, wherever the chametz may be. But you need to go in and get the mail. Right? The mail slot goes into the floor. You need to get the mail. You're allowed to do that. Because then you're not there on a regular basis. You're there on a very temporary basis. That's not a problem. But to be on a regular basis, that's a problem. So therefore, you know, if it lands up that you go ahead and you land up being by someone who didn't go ahead and check the place for chametz, you're going to have to check because you can't be there otherwise. So even though the obligation is an obligation upon that, even though the obligation is an obligation upon that person who actually owns the area, he should have done a bedika, but if he didn't, you can't be there unless he does. So again, you know, if somebody's just giving you a house to stay by, you have to make sure that, you know, either that person has cleaned and checked, or if you want to be there, you're going to have to do it, because otherwise you can't be there. Now, what's interesting to note is that if, let's say, you go to a hotel, or even you go to a motel during Chol HaMoed, right? Did anybody check it for chametz before? No, nobody checked it for chametz before. Are you going to have to check it for chametz? And the answer is no. Because a hotel room or a motel room, you can be sure it's been cleaned. You can be sure it was thoroughly cleaned. This has now become a place where chametz does not enter. That's what it becomes. That's what it's considered. Considered a place where chametz does not enter. And therefore, you don't got to check. You rent a car. You know, one of the areas that you should check for chametz is your car, right? Unless you're one of those people who never, ever eats in your car. But if you do eat in your car, then you need to check it. You know, if let's say that's one of the things, if let's say you are actually away for Pesach, you're not home, on the night of the 14th, you know, one thing you could do is check your car. I don't know if you would go and make a bracha just on checking your car, but you definitely should be checking your car. Okay, but if you ever rent a car, you got to check it? No. Unless you come into that car and it's filthy, then you may have it. Then you may have an issue. But typically, you come into a rented car, it's been cleaned. It's been cleaned enough that it's not going to be a problem of, you know, most you'll be, if anything, maybe there's some crumbs there, which is typically not a problem, especially on the floor. And you know, it's considered an area where chametz has never gone into. And therefore, if you go into this motel room or hotel room, you won't have to do, you don't have an obligation to do bedika, to do a search. On the other hand, if you were there before Pesach and you brought chametz into the room, although, you know, you may have gotten rid of the chametz, eaten it up, it's not there anymore. But once you brought chametz into the room, it's a place where chametz has been brought into and you got to check it. So basically, it really depends on what it is that you are going, it really depends on what it is that you're going to be, that you're doing. That's what it really depends on. Now, again, by a private person, you may not be able to assume that way the same thing, to say that, oh, they cleaned it as well as they do by hotel or motel. And therefore, again, if the point is that if he rented it to you before Pesach, then it's your obligation to check it. If he didn't rent you before Pesach, it theoretically is his. If he didn't, he can make you a shliach. He can make you an agent to do so. If he makes you an agent, you could do it with a bracha. If he doesn't make you an agent to do it, you're going to have to do a bedika, but you wouldn't make a bracha then. Okay, so that again is some, a couple of things that are important for a person who is going to be away for Pesach to bear in mind, to take care of. Now, that's going to be important to know. The next thing I just want to mention is that when we talk about, you know, we've been mentioning the fact that we go ahead and we what we're selling to the guy, we take it, we put it in a cabinet, we leave it there. This is not, again, most people, that's what they do, right? You know, but imagine if a person wanted to just go ahead, take a box, put the chametz in the box, close up the box, put a big sign on the box, don't touch, and leave it in the corner of the room, and sell it to the guy. And sell it to the guy. Would that be able to work? It doesn't work. It does not work because actually, as we mentioned before, even though you can have chametz that doesn't belong to you, it may not even be in your domain, but if you're there with it regularly, sages were concerned that you're going to go ahead and possibly eat it. And therefore, they enacted that in order to be separated from chametz, you have to put up a wall. You have to put up what's called a halachic wall. A halachic wall is at least, a halachic wall translates into about 35 inches. That's a halachic wall. Okay? A halachic wall is about 10 tefachim, it's called 10 tefachim, 10 fists, which is about 35 inches. And that is the minimum size of a halachic wall. And therefore, anytime you have to be separated from chametz, there's got to be a wall in between you and the chametz. Now, okay, so if let's say I put the chametz in a closet and I close the door in front of it, is the closet door 35 inches? Should be. Wait a minute, I said a closet door. Wait. You think of cabinets, 1 second, okay? If you're talking a closet door, you've got a door there, right? Okay, The box is not a wall. Maybe it'll have to be a bigger box, but it's not a wall. If it's just a box, maybe if the box has walls that are 10 tefachim, you'd be okay. Okay? And again, you can't just have the wall there. You got to have a simon. You got to have a sign that says, like, you know, do not enter, chametz, danger. A cabinet works differently. A cabinet, since it's connected into, it's considered connected to the house, that suffices even though it's not 10 tefachim high. It's part of the house, and therefore, at that point, it's enough for us to go ahead and just close it up. Which is why, one time somebody asked me this question, and it works. You know, theoretically, you could take your freezer, right? If you don't need your whole freezer, but who doesn't need the whole freezer for Pesach? But theoretically, you could go ahead, take your freezer, take one shelf of your freezer, put all the chametz in there, put a piece of cardboard in front of it, write chametz, and you're good to go. A freezer is something that's, I think, connected to the sky. It's not like a box. A freezer is something that's connected to the ground because it's heavy. So therefore, the fact, even though you're opening the door, but that separation that you have in the shelf, that would suffice. But it's just an interesting point to know that anytime we are closing off, and so let's say for instance, you know, another thing that somebody want to do, right? Let's say somebody wants to stay in your house, right? Okay, they want to stay in my house, but you know, that means I gotta clean, right? I gotta clean. So, you know, what there's a compromise you can make. A compromise you can make is that you could actually decide that certain rooms I'm going to clean and certain rooms I'm not. And those rooms, I'm going to take the chametz that are in that. I'm going to take those areas that I'm not going to clean. Those are going to be the areas where the chametz may be that I'm going to go ahead and rent out to the guy. So then any chametz that's around, I'm not going to have to clean. And the areas where the person is going to want, the people want to stay, I'll go ahead and clean those areas. And I'll give them a path, you know? I'll give them an area they can walk through. I'll give them a bedroom they can be in. I can give them whatever rooms they want to be in. But let's say the kitchen, that's going to be off limits because that's, of course, a big job to clean, especially if they're going to want to eat there. Or I don't want to have to bother cleaning that room. The kitchen I'm not going to clean. That is an area going to be rented to the guy, and that'll be sold to the guy. But that's going to be an area, since it's not checked, that those people that are your guests aren't going to be able to go in. They're not going to be able to go into there. Because number one, you know, it belongs to the guy. Number two, you certainly don't want them to be there regularly and be there because of the fact that there was no bedikah there. So in that kind of situation, what you would need to do is you'd need to, let's say, at the entrance to the kitchen, you would need to go ahead and put up some kind of a halachic wall with some kind of a sign, with some kind of notification that actually says, don't go in there. But so you don't have to necessarily, if somebody's going to stay in your house for Pesach and you don't want to have to go through the whole job of cleaning, you could do some cleaning so that they can be in those areas. And the other areas, you're going to have to somehow or another partition them off to make sure that they don't go in there. But you can't just go in and put up a sign that says do not enter. There's going to have to be some kind of a halachic wall, a mechitza that's present to block off the area from going in there. The same thing would be, again, this is not something so relevant to us, but let's say you want to be home for Pesach, but you're not eating at home. You're not. You live, you're not eating at home. You're just not eating at home. You're always going to be eating out. And therefore, you don't have to bother with the kitchen. I'm not dealing with the kitchen. So fine, you go ahead, don't clean the kitchen, don't be by the kitchen, and go ahead, and that area is going to be rented out to the guy, and whatever chametz is there is going to belong to the guy. But if you're staying in the house, you're going to have to do something to partition off the kitchen because of the fact that you can't have that kind of access to a place that wasn't badik, that wasn't checked. You know, to stay in the house regularly and say that, well, I just won't go into this room, I don't know if that's enough. You need to go ahead and actually, if you're regularly in that place and you have areas that are open to you that was no bedika, you can't be there. So you're going to have to go ahead and put up some kind of a halachic partition to make sure that you don't go into that room. And again, with a sign that says, you know, chametz, do not enter. But these are all different scenarios that are possible to be done. and the different things that you need to do in order to work these things out. But I just wanted to bring out this halacha about the fact that, you know, we're so used to putting things in cabinets and closing it, we don't think about the fact that there is essentially halacha that says that we need a wall separating. It's just that being the cabinets are connected to the house, therefore, without getting into the explanation to that, that's also considered that I have a good enough separation between the chametz. But otherwise, if it's not connected to the wall, it's just, or it's not something very heavy, it's just something like a box that's moving around, or it's not in anything, you're going to have to go ahead and make some kind of partition, some kind of a halachic wall to make sure that you don't go there.